Welcome to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. My name is Rick Hill, and through this podcast we are bringing you conversations with a variety of people from across our church reflecting on our life and witness at this time. Click subscribe to receive future episodes and do share this podcast with others. Now, before I introduce this week's guests, we're kicking off each episode by sharing some of your stories of faith, hope and love. Firstly, PCI has announced it's releasing £60,000 or €68,000 towards the emergency response of PCI's relief and development partners, Christian Aid Ireland, Tier Fund and the partner churches and organisations. The decision was taken by the Council for Global Mission, and the committee's convener, the Reverend Dr. Liz Hughes, says coronavirus knows no borders and is having a growing impact globally. It is the poorest countries that are most vulnerable in this pandemic, and the outcome could be catastrophic if action is not taken now. In releasing these funds, we know that our partners working on the ground in the worst affected regions are well placed to work with governments and church leaders. Ultimately, they are striving to ensure that the most vulnerable can be spared the greatest hardship and grief that this pandemic is bringing. Dave Curry also writes, at NOC, David, our minister, felt strongly that he wanted to maintain an evangelistic outlook, so as well as encouraging our church family individually to be loving their neighbours and trying to practically care for our community as a corporate church, we're giving Christianity Explored a go via Zoom. We're hoping and praying that our folks share it online and invite others along, and that there will be lots for whom it might help their spiritual seeking of answers, good news, and ultimately life to the full. And finally, Adrian Truesdale from Newcastle Presbyterian shared this. Over the past few years, I've had the privilege of running a men's accountability ministry called Fight Club. This provides a safe place for guys to be able to talk and meet over 10 weeks, doing weekly challenges covering spiritual, physical, relational and mental elements. Each guy is partnered up with an accountability partner throughout the challenge and is encouraged to keep that connection going. As one of several groups here, we were halfway through when social distancing came into force, which meant we had to continue online. But this actually increased our group's participation and has been such an encouragement through very difficult days for everyone, to the extent that the guys have decided to start an additional study to keep them focused in their walk with Jesus. Thanks to those folks for sharing. And if you have a story you'd like to share, then please do get in touch. Now, for this week's episode, we're turning our focus towards those who are serving currently on our front lines, and it's a delight to be able to welcome three Presbyterians who are all working in a variety of capacities. So I'm joined by Alistair Aiken, Mark Beattie and Caroline Orr to hear their perspective on the current crisis and hear what it's like to be on the front line as followers of Jesus. So Alistair, we'll start with you. You're working in the medical world right now. Why don't you introduce yourself to us and just tell us a bit about your perspective right now.
Thanks, Rick. I work as a GP up in Port Glenone. I'm married to Rachel, and we have a 22-month-old called Elena. And yeah, as you said, a Presbyterian, go to Kirkpatrick Memorial in East Belfast.
Caroline?
Hi, my name is Caroline. I am a manager in Tesco's. I've worked in Tesco since 2003. I'm a member of First Bangor Presbyterian. And within that congregation, I am the Girls Brigade GB captain.
And Mark?
Yeah, hi Rick. My name is Mark Beattie. I'm married to Denise. I've got two kids. Seth, the wee boy, is 8, and the wee girl, Georgia, is 5. So I've been the principal at the Diamond Primary School in Collybackie, outside Ballymena, and I've been there for 6 years now. And I'm a member at Second Brashean Presbyterian Church.
Brilliant. Mark, maybe starting with you, what has life looked like for you over the past few weeks as you've sought to serve through your role?
Just massive, massive changes is the first thing I would say. Looking back to, the later part of March, it was just a particularly difficult time in terms of uncertainty, and it was just really stressful getting things ready once we knew that the schools were going to be closing. That really drastically changed how we do school, and I suppose now 6-7 weeks into that journey, that's maybe a little less daunting now, but at that stage it was just really dramatic, just coming up with an entirely new way of learning and doing that online. Setting work for the kids online, setting tasks, making sure they could submit work back, get feedback, just totally different. So at the same time as all of that has been going on, we have been offering childcare for children of key workers. So that's been something that we as a staff at the Diamond just felt that it was very important that we did our bit, really, that this was our part. The phrase is protect the NHS, I suppose. We wanted to make sure that we were just doing our bit to keep people safe. And if that allows key workers to get to work, then so be it. At the same time as that, just a bit of homeschooling with my own two kids. Obviously, I'm not in my own school building as much as I would have been before. So yeah, very, very interesting. Enlightening, maybe. Teaching my own two kids at home. Thankfully, my wife Denise is very good at taking on a lot of that. But yeah, when you're not in the position of authority that you're in school, it's a whole different ball game.
I did read a tweet a few weeks ago that said lots of parents are about to find out that the teacher is not the issue. Is that that been your discovery?
Yeah. I'm on the. When I read that wee quote, there was a smile slowly rose on my face. I think.
Very good. I wonder, Mark, just what pressures you felt in your work recently, and maybe even have you since got at work as well in those ways?
Certainly, I felt a lot of pressure. But you know, I want to be, you know, make it clear that I think that probably pales in terms of the pressure that's being felt by others, you know, particularly folks who are at the front line of this in the NHS and so on. I suppose one of the questions I keep asking myself is, are we doing everything that we can to make sure that the children in our care still have the best opportunities? And you can really pile the pressure on yourself in that sense. But hopefully we're allowing that question to motivate us to be creative and find new ways of doing things. One of the big pressures I find at the moment is looking to the future. And you know, you keep your ear to the news for every new announcement, and at the minute we're just trying to work out how we're going to go into a new academic year. How do we meet the needs of our children if there's a vastly reduced timetable, and generally how do we arrange school and provide the best opportunities but keep social distancing in place? So many questions, and with all of that, you just feel like you're wallowing, and you're just trying to keep your head above the water. So the unknown of all of this I find really, really daunting. You know, whenever I do stop and reflect, you definitely do see God moving in it. You know, lockdown just forced us all to stop, and I suppose there was a sense in which we had to just maybe refresh a bit, reboot a bit, and we've all just had to find a new way of doing life. And that's given time for, you know, a little bit more reading, a wee bit more walking, and maybe a wee bit more appreciation of God's hand in, well, both in nature, and then when you allow those thoughts to continue, his in my life, his hand in terms of making his own will happen. And even just, you know, a wee bit more time just to explore areas that maybe I have struggles with in my own life, particularly maybe around prayer, just this wee devotional on prayer that I found very helpful. And I've also just seen elements of school life just come together, things that I look back now and at the time, maybe just little random decisions that we made to put this little ICT decision into place and these resources into place. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves in lockdown, that those decisions really became crucial, that the fact that those were in place was absolutely crucial for what we were going to do moving forward. So I tend to look at that and see that, you know, God was working in that situation.
Alistair, you're a doctor. Tell us what life has looked like for you.
Yes, like Mark, we have seen a lot of change. Life has looked very different in terms of what it is to be a GP. In the early days, I suppose, of COVID, things were evolving and changing all of the time. And it was really quite difficult to keep up with the pace of change. What advice you were giving to patients one day, the next day, actually, the advice was something completely different. So I suppose over recent weeks, that sort of thing has settled down a little bit. But it looks very different from seeing, I suppose, a large number of patients face to face every day. Mm-hmm. I have actually moved to seeing very few people face to face and spending just a huge amount of my day on the telephone. And I suppose alongside them working in practice, I, like many other GPs in Northern Ireland, have started working sessions in the community COVID centres. Those are really centres, I suppose, where GPs from different practices pull together to see patients who need a face-to-face assessment but are unable to attend their GP practice as they maybe have symptoms that could be due to COVID-19. So I suppose we're in two different places now. We're in our own practice. We're also in these community centres as well. At the outset, we spent a lot of time in meetings with our own GP partners, with GPs from other practices, supposed to try and think about how we're going to run general practice in a very different context. You know, how do we keep other patients who we need to see face-to-face but don't have COVID? How do we keep them safe? How do we keep patients safe while still maintaining a good service? So yeah, it's a very different landscape from the one that we had before. Yeah. And some of it has been good and we might adapt and use in the future. But some of it's much more challenging and stuff that we enjoy seeing patients face to face. Some things, you know, we need to see them face to face for, and that's what we're struggling to do just as much at the moment.
And what pressures, Alistair, have you been feeling in your work and life recently?
I suppose a lot of it's around the area of consulting in a very different way that is outside our comfort zone. It's adapting to very different work patterns. You know, a lot of our work is based around seeing people face to face, examining them, eyeballing. But because of the potential risk of doing that now, it's much more difficult. So I suppose some of it for us is consulting in a way, yeah, that's outside our comfort zone. How do we see patients face to face? How do we not put other staff and patients at risk? You know, around the area of PPE and so on, we feel very well supported at the moment. There's been no issues. For us in general practice or in our locality with that. So that's been great. There hasn't been that particular pressure. I suppose many GPs feel the pressure of working in places like the COVID centres and then coming back to their families at night. They don't feel maybe that's an ideal situation, but certainly those centres are set up as well as they can be at the moment to protect against that.
Caroline, something that we've all had to actually think through and maybe adjust ourselves is how we buy our food. And that type of weekly routine has changed for all of us. You manage a Tesco store. Could you tell us a wee bit about what that's looked like for you?
Yeah, well, we've all spoken about the change to our working environments, and that's certainly no different within my working environment in Tesco's. The change that we had to implement all really happened within a few short days. And even the few weeks that preceded that, a lot more changes continued to happen. I've never worked in the retail business where there's been so much change in such a short space of time. It really was quite overwhelming at times. But all the changes were crucial in line with government guidelines to ensure the safety of the colleagues in the store, but also the customers as well. I'm really thankful that I'm able to go to work each day as I live alone. So certainly I very much thrive on the busyness of life. And now outside of work, my life is a lot different because there's just not the busyness there with a lot of things like church organisations and actually attending church has changed. But for myself, the team I work with, I have a really good relationship with them. And my role in store is very much about looking after the colleagues, the customers and Tesco's. That's always sort of been my three priorities that I've been given. And those three priorities are still there, but how we do that has changed. I would say my role in store is a lot more intense now. The pressure was on to get the environment right for the colleagues and customers. And it was a lot more mentally challenging as I dealt with the increased worry and anxiety from colleagues and customers, and also try just to create understanding from the customers as well and just sort of balance myself as I went to approach those customers who are disregarding what is being encouraged. But we have now established and adapted ourselves to what we're calling the new norm. So we really are focusing on that and just moving forward.
Maybe what I'm interested in with the three of you folks is you're all, I guess, fulfilling these roles, these various roles as followers of Jesus. And I'm wondering whether you've sensed God at work in your various challenges and roles. Or maybe what you've been even learning in these times as well. Caroline, have you had any of those senses or learnings?
I'm just really thankful that, I suppose, you know, as I said, I'm able to attend work each day, and I very much am in an environment where there's a lot of people around me. My health has remained good, so it has, and I'm thankful to God for that. Also, given I'm GB captain and I would be quite heavily involved in my church, I find with all the changes that happened there, it's actually opened up more conversations within my workplace as my work colleagues have been talking to me around. So how are you doing church now on a Sunday morning? Now that, you know, GB has had to stop, how are you still keeping in contact with your girls? So there certainly has been more opportunity for conversation around church and just the importance of that to me.
One thing that's really struck me is the challenge to be living what I claim. So from a Christian point of view, obviously there are a lot of claims that I will make and that all of us as Christians will make. And so the challenge in a completely different environment now is to step up and live those claims. One of those is just the idea of being a servant. And when I think of the way that my role has changed over the last few while, and effectively we became, you know, my school became like a creche, really. It became a place where we just looked after children. And, you know, there's a temptation to think, well hold on a minute, I'm principal of a primary school here. It's not my job. But actually, it's a challenge just to be servant hearted and to live that out. And that's been a big challenge to me. Also, the reminder of God and his creative power, that he's made us in his image and has given us this the ability to be creative and flexible and adaptable. And so that's another thing that we're just trying to do, you know, going forward is trying to take the way that God has created us and make sure that we just don't become stuck with the norms, but we do be creative and think outside the box and work hard and care more and do things in new ways. Obviously, it's great to have a good church family behind us in this, and, you know, a church family that understands the pressures that we're under, the pressures that everybody's under, and sort of approach that patiently and prayerfully.
Yeah, Alistair, it seems that maybe there's more public prayer or increased prayer around your types of role at the minute. Have you sensed God at work in the midst of this?
Yeah, I really have. I suppose, you know, for me, I've been very aware of a real sense of peace. I suppose I feel the work that I'm doing does have a purpose, and I'm very aware of the prayers of church family, of friends, and even of patients at times. And I suppose a bit like what Mark was saying there, in terms of what I'm learning or growing or thinking about during this time, is that idea of serving even during circumstances that are difficult and hard. I suppose I don't want this season to be wasted in my walk with God and service of him. I don't want to just survive this period, however long it might be, and get through it, but rather know God in it. And reflect him as I interact with patients and staff. And, you know, particularly as you do work in places like the COVID centres, very often your primary thought is how do you minimise your time face-to-face with patients? And you do want to be sensible in those interactions, of course, but at the same time, the person in front of you is a person, you know, loved, created by God, and you want to show them compassion, recognise that they're scared and they're anxious, and give them time. So I suppose, yeah, one of the things for me I'm learning is I want to see this part of my life to be used by God in just the same way as the rest, as opposed to a season that I just need to survive and get through so that I can serve God and know God more in the normal parts of life.
I mean, I guess there's a whole mix of people, a range of people who listen to this podcast. So we have ministers, we have church leaders who might be wanting to think, how do I support people like you and people fulfilling these types of roles at this time in my church? And then there might also be people listening who are members of churches and they're involved in healthcare or education or retail or other jobs. What might you want to say to some of those people at this time?
I suppose the first thing I would say is in our church context, you know, they have been really supportive. Our online services, we do get updates from different individuals who are involved in the NHS frontline. There's specific prayers related to that. And I know our discipleship group, who meets every week via Zoom, they have been a hugely supportive, encouraging, prayerful group, a really brilliant, I suppose, Christian community to be part of at this time. And I suppose I would just say, yeah, to those folks who already are praying, to churches who want to continue to pray, to keep doing that, to keep praying for the staff, to keep praying for patients that they would come and seek help. I think that's what we're moving towards now. It's that people don't sit on certain conditions that are not in any way related to COVID, but they could come to harm. And we as GPs and GP surgeries and hospitals want to facilitate easy and safe access for them as we seek to resume sort of some of the normal NHS type of work.
I think my church has been great as well in pulling us together to pray, and in not just to pray, but to just touch base with everybody about their individual circumstances. And that's important. I think it's really nice to know that folks are interested and are listening and want to hear what your experience of this whole COVID situation is. it's also important, I think, because I suppose when we're involved in churches, church life is very busy. And then, you know, when you're trying to do things differently, I mean, I'm involved in Sunday school and so on in my own church. So we're trying to think differently about how to present, you know, the message of Jesus in video presentations that we put out on Facebook and so on. But all of that takes a lot of time as well. And, you know, that can be quite pressured. So I suppose you just hope and pray that people understand, you know, just how busy life is for everyone, and in balancing your work and church life together.
Yeah, Caroline?
Yeah, church life is certainly very different. And I come from a fantastic church family. They mean a lot to me, so they do. And I know that they're actively praying for me and actively praying for other key workers, and just being able to engage and join in with the church services, the prayer groups that they have going, and the discipleship groups and Zoom has been a fantastic way to bring people together and keep people connected. But also just for me, a simple wee check-in, a wee simple text or a WhatsApp just to see how you are, or just to share a wee bit of scripture has been really encouraging and certainly kept me focused and motivated going forward.
And what about, Caroline, what you might say to others who are working in similar industries or roles than yourself? What might you want to say to them to encourage them?
Every Thursday night, you know, we all come out of our homes and we join together and we applaud and just say a massive thank you to our NHS. And that's something that we actively do in store. Whenever I'm in work, if I'm in work on a Thursday night, we would actually stop what's going on and just say thank you to the NHS. And I think it's really important that all key workers are recognised for the fantastic work that they're doing, because if we didn't have our key workers, then things would certainly be a lot different. And it's just amazing that they're still able and willing to use their talents and their skills. We need to appreciate the kindness and the compassion that they're showing towards each other. You know, our key workers are making many sacrifices as they continue to serve with a humble and obedient heart. But like me, like you all, you know, God loves us and he is with us at every encounter that we will experience as we continue to serve him in the roles that we are doing so in.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. You folks all mentioned about prayer, and I'm wondering how we can be praying for you or your colleagues or people in roles like yourself at this time. So are there specific ways that we can be praying, even as people listen to this now, as they're driving their car or out a walk or whatever? How can they be praying for people like you right now?
From a school point of view, Rick, I think I just encourage people to pray for the children who are not in their usual school setting at the moment. You know, particularly in those year groups where, you know, they're heading towards kind of key assessments that, you know, are, when we all look back, you know, we think of those key assessment times when we were moving from primary school and then GCSE and A-level. But just to pray for those kids that they can find a smooth way through that, and that all the work that they've done, you know, that they don't feel that that has gone to waste. And I would encourage, you know, people to pray for, you know, our government and, you know, the Minister for Education, that all the decisions that they make would be in the best interest of the children, but that they would also be realistic as we chart that route forward. And you know, for teachers and anybody working in a school setting, just wisdom as to how we as schools, you know, decide how that we're going to go forward. I mean, there's not going to be any one size fits all approach that the government can give us or advise us. And by the way, I would not like to be in their shoes at the moment and the decisions that they have to make day and daily. But, you know, obviously when advice comes, it can't just be, here's what you will all do. So we need wisdom and guidance. So we need, you know, we need to feel God's presence and guiding us as to how we move our schools forward for our community in the best way, and looking after the children, even in terms of just our mental health and for family life. And also just maybe through all of this, I think there's maybe a tendency for people to look towards God in a way that maybe before this they didn't. And who knows, that might allow a door to be opened in terms of God being a bigger part of school life. Who knows? But those are all things that I think we can be praying for.
Alistair?
Yeah, I suppose some of what I was mentioning maybe in the last answer as well, but that people would seek help on the GP surgeries, hospitals would facilitate easy and safe access for them so that we can resume some of the normal NHS work that's not related to COVID. As well, just for patients at the moment, you know, I'm just aware of folks who have family members who are dying, and that is a very different landscape to what it would have been before. And this is folks who don't necessarily even have COVID, but the normal gathering together of large numbers of families and homes to support one another is not there. And that's really difficult and painful for folks. And I suppose as well, I'm just aware in terms of colleagues, it's more widely speaking, but you know, nurses working in residential and care homes where there's quite a COVID burden at the moment, those folks are finding it difficult and hard and want to really pray for them, because that's a really difficult place to be working at the moment, support those folks who can't even have their family in with them as well. So yeah, there's probably a few things.
Carla?
I think within retail, something just to really pray for is just for ongoing strength for everyone that's working within that business and within that sector. I know one thing I'm certainly thankful for is the team unity that I have. You know, at present, I'm seeing my work colleagues a lot more than what I'm seeing my family. I maybe see my family about 10, 15, 20 minutes within the week, but my work colleagues, I'm certainly seeing a lot more. So team unity, but also just give thanks for understanding and consideration from customers who, as they are coming into the retail environment, are considerate and are adhering to guidelines that have been shared. But one thing I suppose I would also like to put forward for prayer is just to challenge the hearts of those individuals who unfortunately aren't adhering to guidelines, because due to their misunderstanding or choosing to not follow the guidelines that have been put forth, they're actually putting others and themselves at greater risk. And that does make the environment that we work in a lot more challenging at times.
Especially for you, probably as a manager, dealing with some of those things as well and tensions that arise as well.
I was just going to say, you know, yes, as a manager, you know, you do find yourself in some challenging situations, having to approach customers and have a conversation. And sometimes you still come away just with the customer not being aware of what you were trying to share, or also just not taking any consideration for what you've shared.
Finally, we've been asking each contributor on the podcast to share just some scripture that has been key for them at this time. So, Alistair, maybe start with you.
Yeah, I suppose for me, this is maybe a slightly unusual passage, but I'll explain the reason why. It's a passage that has come back to me at different points in my life. And it's a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, where it talks about this idea of an Ebenezer stone. So to set the context of that, I suppose, when the Israelites had finally defeated the Philistines, taken back the Ark of the Covenant, Samuel set up a marker stone at that place and named it Ebenezer, meaning God had been our help so far. And that site became identified with the stone and the place where God's miraculous help had aided them in their victory over the Philistines. And so literally speaking, really, an Ebenezer stone is a stone of a help or a reminder of God's holy presence and divine aid. And I suppose as I look back on my life, I can see a row of Ebenezer stones, reminders of God's presence, his help. And in this very different season of COVID, I suppose I want to lay down one of those stones as well, a marker, even though there is, as we've all talked about, so much uncertainty around, but to set down a marker that God has been my help so far and he will be in this period as well. So yeah, that's probably for me, Rick, the scripture passage that I come to.
Caroline?
Psalm 139 is a passage that I would regularly find myself drawn to, where it talks around that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Even for such a time as this, face the times that we're facing now, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're equipped to deal with the situation that we're finding ourselves in. But more recently, I find myself drawn to Romans chapter 8. And just to share a couple of verses from there, where I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, even though for many there's difficulties. God is still present. He still loves us and he will guide us through this time of uncertainty. We just have to remain faithful to him. And for me, that's just been a real, just assertion of God's promises and his faithfulness to us.
And Mark, you can have the last word.
So a couple of wee verses for me from Luke. A verse that I'll always come back to time and time again is just that the resurrection moment where the angel said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here." I would argue with people that these are the greatest words that have ever been spoken in history, and that this, you know, the honor of these words was given to this angel just to bring this news. And this is the news that I suppose as Christians, this is what lifts our head at any time above the chaos that we're experiencing to what is so much more hopeful and free beyond that. But there's a wee verse in Luke chapter 4, and it's a verse that has, it's amazed me and it confused me as well at times, but it comes in Luke chapter 4. There's a passage in Luke chapter 4 about Jesus being rejected at Nazareth, his hometown obviously, and he's driven out of the temple, and he's taken to a cliff edge, and it says that they intended to throw him off the cliff edge. But then the very last verse, just this little short verse at the end of the passage in Luke 4 verse 30, it just reads, "But passing through their midst, he went away." And I don't know, often I've thought, what happened in that moment? Could they just not see him? Suddenly, did he become like a spirit? How did this happen? How did he manage to just move away from this crowd of people? But I think it's a moment that just shows incredible power in a very quiet, controlled way. And in these times that we're in at the moment, I think we all find ourselves in situations of extreme pressure and extreme chaos. I just feel completely lost in the middle of that. Now, the difference here is that I do not know the way out of it. But this verse, I think, can bring great comfort that I am following the one who does know the way out, and he has the power to bring us out. And so it's a motivation and encouragement to just be completely rested in him in the middle of all the chaos that we encounter daily.
Yeah, I mean, all three of you have brought some really helpful perspective to us today, and you've reminded us of themes of servanthood and challenged us about grace and patience and trust in the midst of this, and finished by reminding us of God's faithfulness, even through our current circumstances. So thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for taking time out, and we thank you for the role that you're playing as well within our society and in our churches at this time as well. And we commend people to pray for you and others like you in the coming weeks and months. So thank you. We'll be back next week with another episode, and do remember to share your own stories of faith, hope and love with us via email, and subscribe to receive future episodes. So thanks for listening to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. See you next time.